And as we like to say, we'll help you keep it running thanks to the help we get from ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, who has been helping us out here on CCO for 20 plus years. And we appreciate, I know our listeners do every week, Dan, appreciate the help you bring forth here. And for those folks who may be new to the show, thanks for joining us. If you do have an issue with your car, truck, or van, whatever the case may be, and before you bring it to your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, ask Dan a question. You might get a little more information, which helps everybody when it comes to car repair, both you and the person that's going to write you up and fix your vehicle. So 651-989-9226. We've got a line open for you if you want to use the phone. Or like some folks, Dan, have already done, send Dan a text, 81807. 81807. Well, normally, this time of year, you and I talk about, if you haven't done so already, getting your cars ready for winter.
Yeah.
We have Thanksgiving coming up. A lot of folks will be on the road, and it looks like, at least from now, that it looks like it's going to be, at least around here, some good weather.
Okay.
Thanksgiving, mostly sunny right now, high near 40. So that's a little, which makes for safer driving.
Yeah, it does make for much safer travel, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
What are folks bringing their vehicles into to Lloyd's this week for?
Dan the tire man right now.
Oh, you're back again, the snow tire.
They were piled up in my bay. You know,
that's a lot of work.
Well, Michelin Tire just started a rebate, so you get a cash card back if you buy tires, and so people are taking advantage of that, and it's a good idea, but Dan has to put them on, so.
That's, like you said, you don't have to go to the gym.
Well, I think I said it last week, all the tire equipment has over the years landed in my bay, so it just makes sense that I'm the one that does it, and I don't mind doing it, but after 20 of them or so in a day, it starts to wear you out.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a tire question, oil question, whatever the case may be from your vehicle, 651-989-9226 or text 81807. Kind of a follow-up. I sent you a text last week because I thought I had to bring my vehicle over because that engine light, you know, service engine now or soon, I think it said, was on. And I was hoping that it would just be the gas cap. And it was on the way in. I told you, I got into it. It's still on. But I had adjusted the gas cap.
Right.
And looking at the manual, and believe me, I follow your advice once in a while. I look at the manual. And it said it may take a few trips to reset. And it took the one trip.
Yeah.
And it was back. So evidently, I didn't tighten down that cap enough.
That'll certainly do it. Could be a lot of other things, too, coincidentally. You know, it failed one time. Every system on your car does a self-test, and when it fails, it turns on the check engine light, so you know there's a problem, and it stores data that we can retrieve, and then if it runs that test again, and it passes the second time, then it'll shut the light back off. So
I was
that's what's going on.
Ask you in reading the manual, what's the evaporative system? What does that do?
Just that. That's the gas. That's your gas tank.
Keeps it
all the fuel system. Lines. It keeps it sealed.
All right.
The reason that your check engine light comes on, if you don't put your gas cap on securely, is the fact that the system is not sealed anymore. It does a self-test. It actually applies vacuum to the tank from the engine. Then it closes all those valves, and it measures. It wants to see that it actually holds that vacuum for a period of time. And of course, if your cap is loose, it won't, and then it'll turn on your check engine light. But the evaporative system is exactly what you're talking about with the gas cap.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, a text came in earlier today, long before you got here, and I think it's an interesting question. Dan, what do electric cars use to heat the car cabin in the winter?
I'm not sure exactly what the element is.
It's a good question.
It obviously has to be electric.
Sure.
Because that's their power source, and it's probably efficient. I would think that it, instead of having to wait for your coolant to heat up like we do on our cars, I think that this probably happens much, much quicker. But there's all those thoughts about on an electric car, how does the heat work, and the efficiency of running it while the lights are on, you know, and so they're pretty well engineered to figure all that out so that it doesn't take very much power to run them.
I think I told you I have a friend who has a Tesla.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't think you have to change the oil. He goes, nope.
No, there is none. Yeah.
There is none.
You know, Tesla has the market a little rattled right now because they seem to be for real.
Yeah.
And they're impressive vehicles. And I think the rest of the manufacturers are now playing catch up just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
To compete with that.
Dan, we have folks on the line, so stay on there. Don't go away. We have to take a quick break. Texters will pick up on your questions as well. We're talking car care here on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. I know where you are, 982 Grand Avenue. See, I thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, yeah.
I memorized it by now.
Yeah.
But how do we get in touch with you otherwise?
You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Come on over, 982 Grand, or you can give us a call. Let's see, Jim will be there this morning at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. All right, we've mentioned that we had callers and texters, so let's help them out, Dan. Who was first here? It would be Hugh calling from White Bear. Hugh, good morning.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I have a 2005 Chrysler minivan that's got a battery that's only a year old. It's new, and I parked it in the garage. I only put on about 2 to 3 miles a day on it. And I go out the next day, and it won't start. The battery's dead. What can I do?
Well, one of two things. Either you have a defective battery, and that's...
No, I took it back to the dealer, and he said the battery's fine.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not likely. More than likely, there's something wrong on the car. And so the test procedure will be that somebody is going to put a digital voltmeter in series to read how many amps the vehicle is drawing when the vehicle is parked. And really, if it has any, something's wrong and something's staying on. We usually use about 250 millivolts as our draw, and so if it's drawing anything more than that over a period of time, it'll draw the battery down to dead. And so if you put that meter on your vehicle, find out how much it's drawing, and I'm sure it is drawing too much. Then the task comes down to, now where do I find what's drawing? And that's tricky because where we would start pulling out fuses one at a time, see if that causes it, if we can isolate it down to a circuit, maybe a component, maybe the radio's not going quiet when it's supposed to, maybe the amp in the radio is not working right, or maybe there's a light staying on somewhere, although oftentimes that's easier to find if you go look at night.
Sure.
But it can be anywhere, literally anything on the car that runs off electric power that's staying on and not settling down and going to sleep when it's supposed to will make the battery go dead. And it can be any of the computers too. You know, when you park the car and shut the car off, all the computers need to go into a sleep mode too. And if one of the computers is not going into a sleep mode, that'll
cause drain it there.
Yeah.
But
so
you
could be
do,
anywhere.
It really could be. That's why you got to bring it in.
Right.
Good luck with that, Hugh. Doug in South Haven is next on CCO. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. I got a question on carbon buildup on intake valves on direct injection engines.
It's a problem. I know that it is a problem, and it's something that needs to be dealt with. They make cleaners that you can run in the vehicle that help on that. There's actually a mechanical process that we go through if it gets bad enough where the carbon builds up and gets so much on there that it holds the valve open, and so then there's no compression on that cylinder and it causes a misfire. And in that case, you know, the something has to come off. Oftentimes the intake manifold has to come off so we can get at the back of those valves. And then you need to, you know, manually get in there and spray them with a carbon blaster and scrub the valves clean. to get everything working again. But if you look for, there's fuel additives that will help take care of that. There's systems that can run from the air side and get to the back of the valves and clean them. But that's a real deal. It's a big deal, and needs to be taken care of. Mm. One of the things that they recommend is make sure that you use the right fuel. If you know it's a high compression engine, and oftentimes they recommend premium fuels. Okay. And so if they do, you should absolutely use them.
Okay, there you go, Doug. Before we break, Gary is in Savage with a question. What is your problem there, Gary?
Yeah, good morning. My problem is I have a 2013 Kia Sorento, and the car has been fantastic, but suddenly I've got my passenger side door lock that's not locking. And, of course, when you put the car in drive, you know, it automatically locks all the doors and the hatch. Mm-hmm. But now the passenger side door is not locking. And, of course, when you put it into drive, it just keeps clicking and that until everything else is shut down. And I did go to the dealer, and he says, well, the only thing they can do is take the door apart and replace whatever the control mechanism is for that door.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other suggestion you might have that can you do it without doing that? It's like a $300 job.
Yeah, no, that is the solution. You know, that it can be disabled if you don't want to spend the money. But the trouble is that actuator, it's actually a little electric motor in there, and that actuator has gotten weak. It's lost its strength for one reason or another. And, you know, perhaps it's that it's gotten bound up in there for some reason. If it's gotten corroded or rusty inside the door panel there, that can cause it. But most often it's just that the motor's gotten weak over a period of time and needs to be replaced. And the solution is going to be to take that door panel off, which, by the way, on most cars is not a big deal.
Really?
It looks complicated, and you have to be careful doing it. But we do it all the time, and oftentimes it's pretty simple. And then that actuator would need to be replaced in there. And quite frankly, $300 for that sounds like a pretty good deal.
Does it really? Okay.
Yeah.
For that kind of labor.
It sometimes
yeah.
can cost a lot more than that.
All right, Gary, there you go. Good luck with that. Dan, we need to take a bottom of the hour break. We're going to pick up on some text messages. If you want to send Dan your car care question via text, that's 8107. Or call us, 651-989-9226. In the Twin Cities, overcast and 33 degrees. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good morning. 33 is our Twin City temperature reading. We're in the midst of our car care show. Denny Law here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We're going to get back to the phones, Dan, but I don't want to ignore our texters as well. Here is one, came in a 2002 Buick Regal. The taillight license plate 15-amp fuse failed, replaced, but fuse failed again. What do you think is causing this?
Well, if the fuse is blowing, it's that, you know, that's the purpose of a fuse, is to save the circuitry. It's the weak link in the circuit, so that when the system gets shorted, the fuse blows rather than the wiring burning up or the car burning up, which can happen. So the reason the fuse is blowing is for a good reason, and the trick is to find that. Start at the bulb, of course. The most common place for problems to happen is at the bulb, where a bad connection can cause things to melt down, and if they melt down, they'll sometimes short and cause that problem.
Yeah.
But that's why the fuse is blowing. So don't put a bigger fuse in and think that that's going to solve your problem, because it's a safety thing now.
We talked about at the beginning of the show about tires, mm-hmm. that you've been mounting a lot of tires lately. Someone wants to know, and I don't know if you can give a ballpark figure, they're looking to get four tire Michelins they want for a 2013 Ford Explorer. They're 20-inch tires.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So what do you think for tires themselves, mounted, balance, et cetera? Any idea, ballpark figure, what that would cost? I have no idea.
I don't either. I bet.
I mean, they got to be, what, at least a couple hundred dollars a piece.
I'm sure they're at more than $1,000 for four of them.
And, yeah.
But I really don't know.
Right.
But I'm sure that it won't make you happy.
That's not with 20-inch tires. Right.
20-inch tires are very expensive. So
yes.
Beware.
All right. Daryl in St. Paul has a question. Go ahead, Daryl. Good morning.
Yeah. Morning, guys. Just a quick question. You got a 2013 Ram with a 5.7 Hemi in it, and the owner's manual recommends 89 octane. It says you can use 87 octane. And my question is that just a performance issue, or is there something else in there that I should be aware of?
Well, it's mostly a performance issue. The gasoline is a tricky thing. The different octane readings don't actually have anything to do with power. There's no more energy in a premium fuel than there is in a regular fuel. The difference is the premium fuel has a much higher rate of pre-detonation. In other words, it won't pre-ignite from compression or from heat the way that as soon as a regular fuel will. Your car is smart enough to be able to tune itself down. If that pre-ignition is happening, it actually can ruin the engine. So you don't want that to happen, and the manufacturer has safeguards built into the system to take care of that. But how it does is it reduces performance so that the pre-ignition doesn't happen. And so if you don't use the premium fuel or the fuel that they're recommending, just know that the vehicle will not perform up to the standards that you paid for when you bought the vehicle.
Okay.
So that's what the premium fuel thing is all about, is that it won't pre-ignite the way a regular fuel will.
Thank you, Daryl. I don't know if Carl in St. Paul has a similar question. What is your question, Carl? Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Dan. See, I have a question. It's in regards to unleaded fuel and the mid-grade, and I filled up with the mid-grade, have an 02 Ford Ranger anyway. They said the lower grade, you get better mileage than you will with the mid-grade. What is your take on that?
Well, I think it's a matter of opinion, because you'll ask one person, does premium fuel or regular fuel give you better mileage? And one person will argue one way, the other one will argue the other way. I think the truth is, when it comes to mileage, probably the bigger difference has to do with the amount of alcohol, the ethanol that they put into the fuel. You know, the more alcohol, the more ethanol they put in, that does lower your gas mileage. That's just a fact. So I don't know that the grade, the octane has too much to do with mileage. But, you know, my recommendation to people is play around with it. Try one, see what happens with that, then try it again to be sure that you get the same results. And if it helps, then that's what you should do.
We have a text message. Thank you, Carl. Again, about oil, and we get that every week. The oil in my vehicle is synthetic or semi-synthetic. Do you recommend either?
I do. Yeah, as always, do what the manufacturer recommends.
Right.
But you know, synthetic, right on down to conventional motor oils are, you know, kind of a good, better, best. And my recommendation is always use the best.
Yeah,
and you do that. You know, actually bring your own oil and filter when I change your oil for you, and you buy the best filter that you can find. And you bring the best motor oil that you can find, and I think that's a good idea. You know,
I think it's cheap maintenance all the way around.
Cars are expensive.
Yeah, I got it right.
Yeah.
And I did something. I got to tell Dan, I checked the oil in my wife's vehicle, in my vehicle, and Tony's vehicle about 3 days ago. I wonder how many people check their oil. I don't do it often as I should.
Based on when I change motor oil on cars and pull the drain plug out, not many people check their oil, because it quite frequently happens where it's just a little dribble out of the bottom of the pan.
Ooh,
and
that's
really
scary.
Hard on a motor,
I
so
guess.
Don't do that.
Texter says the heater fan makes an annoying humming noise when on low speed. There isn't any debris in the fan. It's a Toyota Camry.
Oh, well then, the motor oil, that was going to be my suggestion, is that there's debris in the fan. I had one yesterday, actually, where the mice had built a nest on top of the cabin air filter, chewed through the cabin air filter. So, of course, the debris fell through the cabin air filter and fell into the fan motor itself. And then, of course, it's out of balance and it makes a terrible noise when you run it. But if you're sure that there's no debris in the fan and the fan makes an annoying noise, then the bearing must be going bad in the motor, and the motor will need to be replaced.
Dan, Texter says, I bought a 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee in May. When I went to use the rear window defroster, the light on the button comes on when I push it, but it doesn't defrost the window. How do I troubleshoot this problem?
Well, you could do it with a test light or a light bulb, actually. It's very simple. On the back window someplace, maybe under the plastic trim around the back window, but somewhere there's two wires that go to the grid on the window. And you just find those two wires, and those two wires, one of them should be power, the other should be ground. And if you just run a test light between those two wires, the light should light up when you push the button. If the light does light up, then you've got a break in the grid itself. And that's complicated because oftentimes it requires that you replace the window itself.
The whole window, yeah.
So.
Good luck with that. Texter says it's a 2016 Buick Enclave. I heard that when started, it won't shift until the engine and all is warm. Is that right? Sometimes it just won't shift, and it is too new to have trouble.
I agree. And no, that is not normal. That it should not have to warm up, you know, maybe just a little bit, but not more than a few seconds before you should be able to put it into gear.
Wow.
And so if you're having trouble with that and it's a 2016, that should probably go back under warranty and be checked.
I should say.
Yeah.
Let's see. 2011, I know we are almost out of time. 2011 Ford Ranger, cold weather, 2,000 RPM, starts to come down, jumps back up, then comes down normal, no codes. So it sounds like the
Idle is surging for some reason. Oftentimes that's caused by a vacuum leak. It can be caused by carbon buildup on the throttle plate itself. So I would recommend that you bring that in, and if you do, it certainly has something to do with air. Either too much air is getting in, or not enough air is getting in. It both can cause that. But if they find a vacuum leak or find a carbon buildup somewhere, they'll take care of it. And usually, it's a pretty simple fix.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to print out the text messages that we didn't get to, and we'll open up with those next week.
That sounds great.
Have a great
Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes. Yeah, have a great Thanksgiving, you and your family.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
You too.